Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. And with me in the studio today, Beth Wood, North Carolina State Auditor. She recently published an investigative report on former Cape Fear Community College President Ted Spring and some of the financial dealings that came into question. Today, we're learning more about how the auditor's office works and why citizens play such a key role in some of these investigations. If you have a question for Beth Wood, now is your chance to ask her. You can give us a call at 910-343-1138, send an email to coastline@whqr.org, or tweet us at coastlinehqr. And we will get back to some questions around Cape Fear Community College, but we heard from David and Donna, who are asking, why does Beth Wood's department not audit North Carolina churches who take blatantly partisan positions, as First Baptist in Charlotte did in last year's election? Why don't they and others lose their nonprofit status?
The nonprofit status comes from the federal government, and certainly there's criteria that they have to meet to be a nonprofit. But the jurisdiction of the North Carolina State Auditor's Office falls with organizations that receive state appropriations, your tax dollars, state monies, or federal grant monies, federal tax dollars, coming to the state of North Carolina in the form of a grant and passing through the state of North Carolina. So if it doesn't fall into a state appropriations or federal grants that pass through the state of North Carolina, the organization is not within my jurisdiction to go and take a look at.
And you have said that citizens do play a key role in a lot of the investigations that get launched from your office. How does that happen?
You're exactly right. Some of the best tips that we receive are from citizens of North Carolina, employees of organizations where things are not happening like they should. We have an app for that. So there's an application that you can download and send us allegations or issues that you might see where monies may be misappropriated. We also have a hotline phone that you can call in and remain anonymous. And it's on our website, www.ncauditor.net. Or you can also email us, and we will respond in any of those three ways. But I think it's important for citizens to recognize that if you do call in issues or allegations or suspect of misappropriations, you will remain anonymous.
Okay, so if there is an employee that thinks his or her boss might be doing something funny with the checkbook, even if those allegations turn out to not be substantiated, that person is still safe. They can, the whistleblowers will be protected.
That is absolutely correct. We have had situations where we would interview the person who wanted to talk with us and several others, and then nobody would ever know who it was that brought the allegation to our attention. So we have a way to keep people anonymous.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with North Carolina State Auditor Beth Wood. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. And Anne from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
I'm very glad she's addressing this subject. It's very informative. I have taught at Cape Fear Community College, and I absolutely love teaching at a community college. I have also taught at the university, as I have a doctorate. But my preference really is the community college. My question is this: how many students might have had their in-state tuition paid with this money which was wrongly taken by Ted Spring?
Beth Wood?
It's hard to say, not knowing what the awards would have been. But again, you're looking at approximately $75,000 that was could have been used toward students and their supplies or the administration. So I'm not sure that this was really financial aid, that this could have ever gone to tuition for a child or a student at Cape Fear. It's more in the administration of the community college and the operations.
Anne, thanks so much. Anne, are you still there?
Yeah, I just want to clarify. I don't mean technically categories. I'm just speaking directly. It's very hard for students to afford to go to school now. And this would pay for, if she could tell me what the tuition, in-state tuition is per year or per semester for a student now, we can calculate how many students might have been able to go to school.
I'm not sure.
I apologize, Anne. I do not know that figure.
All right, thanks.
I'm so sorry.
Yes. That's right, thanks.
Thank you so much for your call, Anne. And we had an anonymous caller who just left a message. And this person says, do any of the people who received these unauthorized raises continue to receive the new salaries? Or do they have to give that money back, I assume? If they continue the new salaries, do they continue to benefit in other ways? As in, will their retirement packages be higher as well, Beth Wood?
Yes, if the raises continue, and I have no reason to believe that those raises were taken back, if those raises continue, you're exactly right in that their retirement package will be higher than if they did not receive those raises. So you're exactly on target.
So in other words, some of these decisions that were made, the roughly $48,000 that went to unauthorized raises and promotions, that money is forever allocated.
That's right.
In a certain direction.
It's recurring. And then if there are raises down the line, they're computed based on that salary that we're talking about right now. So again, it is recurring until the person no longer works there. And then their retirement package is reflected of those raises.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with North Carolina State Auditor Beth Wood. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send us an email at coastline@whqr.org. And Beth Wood, there's another issue around Cape Fear Community College that has been in the news quite a bit lately. One news organization, the local NBC affiliate, I believe it is, WECT, has been asking for details of the performance contracts for some of the performers who will be part of the first season at the Humanities and Fine Arts Center, which is part of Cape Fear Community College's campus. It's part of their operation. And the conflict comes in when you have high-profile performers. For example, Liza Minnelli is one of them. And there is a confidentiality agreement with her. So the college would be violating a confidentiality agreement if they chose to make the details of her contract public. And yet, because this is a public institution, a government-funded organization, there isn't really a law in place that would protect the details of those contracts. Can you speak to that issue?
I would do better if I had my lawyer sitting beside me, because there are contracts with government organizations that receive funding. And again, depending on where that funding's coming from to pay for those contracts with someone like Liza Minnelli and the confidentiality clauses. I mean, if the organization signed the contract, I have to believe that it is on the up and up and that there's not, the details of that contract will not be made public. Now, it's not the kind of thing that my office couldn't go and take a look at. Nothing is off limits to the Office of the State Auditor. But for the general public, as far as transparency, again, if they've got that confidentiality agreement in that contract, then I'm pretty confident that the details of that contract will not be made public.
Is there something that the community college could do with your office to satisfy the questions around the financial responsibility of the operation with the Humanities and Fine Arts Center? In other words, could your office go in and do an investigation, keep the results, keep the details of those contracts private, and still say it looks like it's on the up and up or not?
We absolutely can. There are from time to time issues that we consider sensitive issues that cannot be in the case of information technology. So for reasons that that would be harmful, breaches could occur. So there are some times that we have the ability to give the results of our audits to those that it's necessary, but the general public wouldn't see it, but it's in a way that something can be done or something can be taken care of. So you're exactly right. We could come in and take a look, issue a sensitive letter, and then still say, on the surface, to the average citizen or the readers that, yes, everything was done on the up and up and there's no violation of grant monies or college policy or state policy or state law. You're exactly right.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with North Carolina State Auditor Beth Wood, partly about the recent investigative report that she produced on Cape Fear Community College's former president, Ted Spring, and some of his financial dealings. If you'd like to ask her a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. And we had someone call earlier, once again, just left a message. We get these very covert phone calls when you're in the studio with us, Beth Wood. John says, the money that the president took, some of it was just raises, not taken. I think he's trying to clarify a point that...
And he's right. What we use the... When you looking at clarifying in that perspective, some of the money was given in raises and some of the money was inappropriately spent. But you add it together, and it's still a total that is not available for the board members to spend on the operations of the community college. But he is exactly right that not all the money was taken by or used by or spent by the former college president personally. But again, there is a total amount of money that is not available to the community college to be spent on the operations of that college.
And going back to the Humanities and Fine Arts Center, if you were to take a look at the operations, if you were to take a look at those contracts, what would constitute something that wasn't savory for a government-funded institution? I mean, you do these performance audits, and I want to get into those just in a minute because I think this might fall under that rubric of, is this a good use, a reasonable use of government money? But in this case, where you're talking about high-profile entertainers coming to what has been a smaller market, this is, you know, we wouldn't have seen Liza Minnelli here before. At what point is it not appropriate?
First thing that we would do in a situation like that is if we looked at the contract, certainly we would make sure that there were monies that could be used to pay for a contract like that. So then, or pay for those services or her performance. The other, you know, we would be looking for compliance issues, rules, policy, so on and so forth. But then what it would get down to is, you know, for the benefit to the community, you know, best practices, does this make sense? Then in a performance audit, you just sort of lay that out there that, you know, from a performance perspective, from dollars available to be used for the operations of the community college versus this performing arts center, I mean, does that make sense? And so that's really where you would get down to. The first thing we'd be looking for is, again, compliance with laws, rules, regulations, monies, and how they're supposed to be used. Is there any compliance issues, state law, or anything like that? But then the other place you go to is in best practices.
And so if, for instance, in this case, I think the Humanities and Fine Arts Center director, Shane Fernando, was telling me yesterday that they've already sold $280,000 in tickets, which is something of a record breaker for this area, I think. If it turns out that ticket sales, projected revenues, more than cover those costs and the center winds up becoming a self-funded operation, which I think is the goal, does that fall within what you would consider to be compliance and appropriate use of government money?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with North Carolina State Auditor Beth Wood. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. And Beth Wood, you do several different kinds of audits, as you were saying at the top of the show. And one of those audits that you do is called a performance audit. Explain what that is and why this seems to be a growing function in your office.
It is a critical function in our office. When you're looking at the checkbook, the financial statements, for example, you really can have money coming in the door, properly accounted for, expenditures properly accounted for, and then the balance left in the bank is the right amount. You can have the bank, the checkbook, everything to be correct, but you spent monies and did you accomplish anything with those dollars? And that's what a performance audit is going after for a program, for a division of state government, for an agency in general. You spent all these taxpayer dollars. What were you trying to accomplish in spending that money, and did you accomplish it? Or did you use twice the number of resources that you should have used to come up with the same objective? In some cases, we're looking for, did you really have any measures, any metrics? What were you trying to accomplish? You're spending the money. What were you trying to accomplish with the money? And in a recent performance audit, we found that there weren't even any measures or metrics to be measuring about. They were just spending money. And so, again, these are our hard-earned tax dollars coming into the state of North Carolina. They're being spent. What are you accomplishing with those dollars?
Are those performance audits public?
They absolutely are. On our website, we have a tab for audit/reviews. And when you click on that, you have a chance to look at financial audits, federal grant audits, performance audits, financial-related audits, and investigations. So we have it broken down so you don't have to filter through all the audits that we do. But if you're looking for a particular type and the savings, the inefficient spending, the lost revenues to the state, you'll find that in the performance and the financial-related arena.
I'm fairly certain that some of our listeners right now are wanting to know which organization you would have been talking about in this last example of not even having any metrics by which to measure efficiency.
We can talk about who that is.
Who is it?
It was the Division of the Blind at the Department of Health and Human Services. So they have a program by which they take people who are blind and they train them to run vending services in the rest stops on the side of the road, in state buildings, federal buildings, and they're able to earn a living and be a functioning citizen in North Carolina. So they train them, they show them how to do it, and they're supposed to monitor it. And what we found is we have only 77 spots where people can be have these vending operations. We found that there are 325 that have been trained and certified by the state of North Carolina. So 325 minus 77 people that are actually functioning in these areas. And we've spent over $300,000 per person training these people. And yet we don't have a place for them to land to have their own vending operation. When we went to audit this program, we've spent $29 million over a period of years, and we can't tell you how many people they intended to train, how many they intended to give a business to. They're not monitoring and looking at the vending businesses, so those who are not performing well are not being taken out of the business and give it to somebody who will do it right. Their door is wide open for monies to be skimmed off the top because some portion of that money that they earn goes back into the program itself to train others, and the door is wide open for monies to be skimmed off the top before the dollars are reported to the state. So there was just holes big enough to drive a truck through. So we have no idea if the $29 million were spent and accomplished what it should. We don't know if we helped all the blind that we should. We don't know if we have everybody working that we should.
Is there a plan in place to remedy that?
There is. DHHS has a plan, working on a plan to fix this program.
You're listening to Coastline. It's a conversation with North Carolina State Auditor Beth Wood. We're about to go to a brief break, and we'll come up on our last segment. So if you'd like to get your question in, give us a call, 910-343-1138. You're listening to Coastline.